Let's pray together. God, we come to you now and we ask that your presence would be among us, and that we would hear the words that you want us to hear, and that they would go into every corner and crevice of our heart, even the parts of our heart that maybe we've locked away for a long, long time. I pray that you would challenge us this morning by your Spirit to not be a hypocrite, but to be open and honest and transparent. Because that's who you are. That's who your Son was. And that's who you call us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Richard Nixon was the 37th president of the United States. He's known for the fact that he opened foreign relations up with China, he ended the draft, and he signed Title IX, which allowed more opportunities for girls to play sports. But maybe what he's most known for is Watergate. In the summer of 1972, a few months before Nixon was up for re-election, five men broke into the Watergate Hotel. They broke in because they were trying to gain access for information from the Democratic National Committee. Pretty quickly, those five men were linked back to a group of people who were called the Committee for Re-election of the President. In other words, those five men were linked back to Nixon. And pretty soon that became a scandal, and that scandal led to a tragedy when Richard Nixon had to eventually resign, first ever president to resign from the office. But there are some historians that believe, maybe they're right or maybe they're wrong, but there are some historians that believe that what did Nixon in was not simply the burglary that happened at Watergate. And in fact, the prosecutor for Watergate, the lead prosecutor, James Neal, he even said that he didn't think Nixon knew about the burglary, at least before that it happened. Instead, what did Nixon in was the fact that once the burglary happened, instead of being open and honest about what had transpired, he instead decided to cover it up. He told people to be quiet about what had happened. Even maybe paid some money to others to leave it alone. Fired people who he thought were getting too close to him and that were causing problems. And eventually speculation started to grow, distrust, mistrust started to rise in the country, and eventually Nixon had to resign in disgrace. All because, instead of being honest and open about what had happened, he tried to cover it up. To cover it up. God desires honesty. David wrote in Psalm 51 that, Lord, you desire truth in the innermost being. I think what David meant when he wrote that is he was trying to say, God, what you want at the very core of who we are, what you want is you want truth and purity and honesty. Jesus put it this way in the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I think what Jesus is offering here is he's saying people who in their heart, in the core of their being, that are truly pure, that their actions are genuine, their behavior is true, the things that they do and they say, they're sincere. Those kinds of people, those are the ones that are going to see God, the ones who are pure in heart. That word sincere is kind of an interesting word because there are some people who say that the etymology of that word comes from Latin, that there are two words in Latin, sin and sera, and the first word means without, and the second word means wax, without wax. And there's an old story about in the Greco-Roman society that they would have people who would make sculptures that were of marble, and there were vendors who would take those sculptures and they would sell them in the marketplace. But there'd be some sculptures that would have cracks or crevices or gaps in the marble, and so what they would do is they'd take some wax, and they would put wax and it would cover over those gaps and it would cover over those cracks and crevices and make it look really, really good for a while. And after a few months, that wax would harden and it would yellow and you could tell this isn't really full of marble, not through and through marble. It's mostly marble, but there are some cracks here, and there's some wax to cover it up. But if a vendor got a sculpture that was perfectly of marble, I mean, completely full of marble, through and through marble, then he would sell it, and he would say, this is without wax. This is sincera. And I think that's what God wants of us. He wants us to be people without wax. He wants us to be people where through and through, in our heart, in our soul, we are pure. We are honest. We are open. There's no wax covering up things. There's no cracks or crevices that have been tried. We've tried to hide through putting some kind of wax on. We're without wax. We're sincere, honest to God. I think this is so important for us because of our theme. Our theme for the year here at Southside is to be a church that shares the story. We quote every Sunday morning Psalm 51, verse 15, because we want the words of David to be the beating of our heart, that open our lips, Lord, because we want to share your story. We want to tell others about what you've done in our life. But I truly believe if we want to share the story, God's story, we have to be honest with our own story. The first step to being a good evangelist is being authentic and real. The world doesn't want hypocrites. The world doesn't want people who are good salesmen. The world doesn't want people who can talk a good game. The world wants reality. The world wants people who are authentic. The world wants people who believe it through and through. And so if we're going to be people who can share God's story, we've got to be honest with our own story and with who we are. Honest to God. The problem with doing that, though, is that we have a strong, strong tendency to cover up things about ourselves that we do not want others to know. In the 1600s, a popular way to celebrate or to have fun was to have a masquerade ball. You've probably heard of these before. They were parties where people would gather and they'd come in costume. And the most important part of the costume was the mask. And sometimes when we come to church and we're around other Christian friends and brothers and sisters, it's almost like a Christian masquerade ball. Because we've come in and we've put on a mask. Maybe for some of us, the mask we wear is the perfect family mask. We walk in and we want everyone to perceive us that our family's got it under control, that our children, they never have any kind of discipline issues, that our marriage is great, we never have any arguments, we never have any disagreements, that our home is a perfect place of peace. We want everyone to think that. But if we were really honest, and if we took down the mask, the truth is that is not the case at all. That our children sometimes are very difficult to handle, and we don't even know if we're doing a good job as a parent. That our marriage is not what God desires of a marriage to be. In fact, sometimes there's a lot of conflict, and our home can sometimes be a battleground. For some of us, we pick up the mask of a good job. We want everyone to perceive us that we're doing well in our job and our career is going up and that we're really proud of ourselves and our achievements, because there's a lot of people around who are very professional and they're doing really well and they seem very successful. And so we got to fit in. And so we tell everyone, hey, yeah, my job is doing really well. Yeah, I'm very pleased. My career's going great. What if we took off the mask and we're real and honest? It's not the case at all. We don't like our job. Things aren't going well. We don't feel like we fit in many times with all these people who seem to be doing so good career-wise. And inside, we feel kind of like a loser. There's others of us that we pick up a third mask, and that is the strong and courageous mask. And no matter what we've got going on in our situation, whether it's a family member who's going through some kind of illness, whether we're going through some kind of disease, whether we're dealing with an addiction or some kind of problem, we put on this mask when we come to church and we're strong and we're courageous. We can do this. We don't need anybody's help. We don't need anybody asking for us, praying for us. We got this under control. Yeah, it's tough and it's hard, but we can do it, right? We're Texans. We can do this. What if we took off the mask? That's not true at all. We're struggling. We're weak. And we actually need brothers and sisters to walk alongside of us if we could just let somebody know that. And then fourth, and I would dare say this is the mask that I'm tempted to put on, the spiritual leader mask. We come in and we want people to perceive us as a spiritual leader. We want people to think that we've got it all under control in our relationship with God, that we know Scripture, we teach Scripture, that we don't have any struggles with temptation. Satan never gets to us. We've got to be that leader for everyone to see. We can't let people know that we struggle at times. But if we're really honest, if we took down the mask, the truth is that Satan gets us just like anybody else. And in fact, there are some weeks that we walk in here and, wow, it's been a hard week, and we've fallen hard to temptation. But too often we don't let people know that because church is like this Christian masquerade ball where we put on the mask, we put on the costume, and we turn it on for everyone to see. We are so good at that. Did you hear the story about the little boy who was playing in a barn? His family lived on a farm, and he was out in the barn. He was playing, and the preacher came to see the family. And the preacher was inside with the parents, and they were having a good visit in the house. And the little boy came into the house, ran into the house from the barn. He was so excited. He didn't see the preacher. He just ran right up to his parents. He said, "Mom, Dad, guess what? I was out in the barn playing, and I saw that rat. Remember that rat that we were trying to get? And I got a stick, and I ran after that rat. I caught that rat, started hitting that rat, and I hit him and hit him and hit him, and guts started spurting everywhere. Blood went everywhere. It was awesome. I got the rat." And then he turned, and he saw the preacher. And he just kind of stopped and straightened up, and he said, "And the Lord called him home." We're so good at turning it on. Putting on the mask and hiding things that we don't want people to know. And if that's you, if you've been wearing the mask, let me just tell you this right now. That is not the life that God has called you to live. The reason why we want to hide, the reason why we want to put on masks, the reason why we want to cover up things is not from God. It's not of God. It's from sin. The very first time that someone wanted to hide anything was in Genesis chapter 3. God had placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And he said, "There's one tree I don't want you to eat of, tree of knowledge of good and evil." But serpent started tempting Eve. She took of that fruit and she ate of it. Gave some to Adam and he ate of it as well. And what was the very next thing? Did you hear it in the scripture reading? What was the very next thing that they did? It says their eyes were opened, and they saw that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they put on a mask. It wasn't a very good mask. But they put on a mask. They were embarrassed of who they were. And then what happens in the next verse? God is walking in the garden, the cool of the day, and they hear God walking, and what do? They go hide. The very first time in all of history when God comes to be with his creation, and his creation runs the other way. And why do they do it? It's because of the power of sin. That when sin comes into our life, whether it's something that we commit, when we commit sin, or whether it's someone near us who commits sin and we feel the impact of it, or whether it's just the curse of sin that we experience in our life. Whenever sin comes into our life, it always is incredibly embarrassing. Sin is embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's shameful. And when we experience that, our human tendency is to cover it up, put on a mask, go hide, don't talk about it, let's don't think about it. And because of that, we start to become hypocrites. And we start living a certain way, and there's just certain topics that we just don't talk about around the house. There's certain subjects we just don't bring up. There's certain events in history that we just don't relive because we don't want to talk about those things. We just want to keep them covered, keep them hidden. We don't want to deal with those things. But that's not the way that God calls us to live. That's not the life of God. The life of God is not a secretive life. The life of God is not a life where we hide things from others and we cover up things and we don't let people know certain things and we put on masks. That's not of God. And so how do we move from people who put on masks to people who are open and honest and real and transparent, pure in heart, people who have truth in the innermost being. How do we move to those kinds of people? I think the answer is found in Proverbs 28. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, we find this good little proverb. It's in a section of Proverbs where the writer is presenting two ways of living, the way of wisdom and the way of foolishness, the way of righteousness, the way of wickedness. And as he walks through those two chapters, he brings up certain topics. And as he looks at each topic, he says, here's the way of wisdom and how they deal with this topic. And then here's the way the foolish deal with this topic. Here's the way righteous people deal with this topic. And here's the way that wicked people deal with this topic. And in Proverbs 28, verse 13, the topic is dealing with sin. What do you do when sin comes into your life or to your family? What do you do when you feel the consequences of sin in your life? How do you handle that? The proverb is what scholars call an antithetical parallelism, which means that one phrase is positive and one phrase is negative, but they're all trying to say one simple truth. You ready for the proverb? Here it is. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. The writer says on the first phrase that one way of dealing with sin is to conceal it. Cover it. Put on a mask. That word for conceal basically comes from where we get our word clothing, garment. We put on clothing because we want to hide certain things about our body that we're ashamed of. And we can do the same thing with sin. We're ashamed of sin. We're embarrassed of sin. So we put on something. We conceal it in some way. And I think there's even some of us here who think that's what we ought to do. We don't air our dirty laundry for others to see. We don't let others know that we are weak at times. We don't let others know that we struggle at times. But the writer says, if you do that, if you conceal your sin, if you hide your sin, you're not going to prosper. There's going to be a limitation to what you can do spiritually. You're not going to be able to grow very much into the likeness of Jesus because whenever you conceal your sin, you do not prosper. On the other hand, the writer says that another way of dealing with sin is to confess sin. And confessing is basically the opposite of concealing it. Instead of trying to cover it and hide it and put on a mask, confessing means that I'm going to be open, that I'm going to acknowledge my wrongdoing. I'm going to acknowledge the struggles in my life. I'm going to acknowledge my weakness. And the writer says, when you do that, when you uncover sin, when you acknowledge the sin in your life, you actually find mercy. That's the way of wisdom. That's the way of righteousness. The foolish man covers sin. The foolish Christian walks in and puts on a mask. The foolish person tries to hide the embarrassing things that have happened in their life. But the wise one confesses them and uncovers them and says, let me be honest. Let me put the mask away and let me be real and tell you about my family. It's not perfect. Let me put the mask down and tell you about my struggles and my work and career and how that's affected me. Let me put down the mask and tell you about how I'm dealing with a difficult situation and I don't know if I can do it on my own. Let me put down the mask and tell you what it's like to be a leader and how I struggle and I fall just like anybody else. That's the way of wisdom. That's the way of God. Confession is the means by which we move from people who are hypocrites to people who are transparent. We move from people who wear masks to people who are open and honest through confession. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. But I know that's hard. It's hard for us. And I know it's hard because let me just give you an example. This is just one example. Every week here at Southside, during our assembly, we have a time where we give you permission to confess. Where we say, okay, here's your chance. If there's sin in your life, if you're struggling with something, if you're dealing with something and you need to share it with someone, here's your time to do that. We call that the invitation. And we have our shepherds and ministers surround this auditorium, and they're close by to where you just have to walk a few feet, and you can walk up to one of them and say, "Let me take down the mask, and let me tell you what's going on, and pray for me." And there's many of you who do that from time to time. But I know there are many of us in this auditorium who have never done that. Who have never walked 10 feet to an elder, to a shepherd, a church leader, and just said, "Pray for me." Now, why is that the case? Could it be that we think we don't have any sin? If we think that, John says we're deceiving ourselves, because we all struggle. Could we think that maybe my sin's not as important as other people's sins, or maybe less important, that people who walk to elders, oh, that they have big sins in their life, and that's not really me? If we think that, we're being like a Pharisee, because that's what the Pharisee said. "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like the tax collector, that I don't have to go forward. Those aren't my sins." But I don't think we think that way. I don't think most of us think like we have no sin, and most of us don't think like we're hypocrites. Instead, I think the reason why often we do not walk over to an elder or minister leader to share about a struggle in our life is because, frankly, it's just embarrassing, right? It's embarrassing. People are going to see that we are weak. And I understand that. I understand that because that is the nature of sin. Sin makes us weak. Sin is embarrassing. Sin is shameful. And we don't want people to know that. And so it's just so much easier to put on a mask and act like it's not there. Now, I'm not saying you have to be, in order to be a good Christian, you have to walk to an elder in your life. Confession can happen in other places besides the assembly. I'm just using that as an example to demonstrate that it is hard. It is hard to confess. It's hard to uncover the embarrassing things of our life. But the Proverbs writer, he tells us, this is the way of wisdom. This is the righteous way. This is God's way. And when we confess and are open about our sin and our struggles, what ends up happening is that sin loses its power, loses its grip on us, and we move from being hypocrites to being honest to God and to others. As I was working on this lesson this past week, I ran across a contemporary Christian song that I just thought fits so well what I'm trying to say. It's a song by Casting Crowns. I just want to read the words to you. It's called "Stained Glass Masquerade." Is there anyone that fails? Is there anyone that falls? Am I the only one in church today feeling so small? Because when I take a look around, everybody seems so strong. I know they'll soon discover that I don't belong, so I tuck it all away like everything's okay. If I make them all believe it, maybe I'll believe it too. So with a painted grin, I'll play the part again so everyone will see me the way that I see them. And then the chorus, are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeples with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that's broken, maybe then we'll close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. Is there anyone who's been there? Are there any hands to raise? Am I the only one who's traded in the altar for a stage? The performance is convincing and we know every line by heart. Only when no one is watching can we really fall apart. But would it set me free if I dared to let you see the truth behind the person that you imagine me to be? Would your arms be open or would you walk away? Would the love of Jesus be enough to make you stay? Are we happy plastic people under shiny plastic steeples with walls around our weakness and smiles to hide our pain? But if the invitation's open to every heart that's broken, maybe then we'll close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. I can tell you with assured confidence, God wants us to close the curtain on our stained glass masquerade. He doesn't want us to put on masks. He doesn't want us to play a part. He wants us to be real and honest, and that starts with confession. And I don't know what that means for you, God knows your heart much better than I do. But maybe for you, what that means is during our invitation that you walk over to an elder. And you walk over to that elder to ask for prayers because of struggles in your life. But maybe also you walk over to an elder because you just need to prove to yourself, it's okay for people to see me weak. It's okay for people to see me struggling. The church is not a museum of saints. It's a hospital for sinners, right? It's okay to be weak. Because in our weakness, that's where God's power is shown greatly. But for others of us, maybe what we need to do is we need to have a conversation with our spouse or with our youth minister or with our college minister, Joe, or with Dan in the Hope class or with someone else and just say, listen, there's a secret in my life that I need to share. There's something hidden that I've kept hidden and I've covered it up, but I need to let you know this. I need to confess it. Confession removes the power of sin. And so maybe you need to have that conversation today. Maybe you need to have a conversation with a friend. Whatever conversation you need to have to confess sin, to find mercy, and to quit living the masquerade, please let us help you do that. Let's stand, let's sing, let's have our invitation.